Good morning, Ross Road Community Church. It is so good to be with you guys. It's been a couple of years since I've been up here in Canada, and it's just nice to cross the border again. I am glad to be here with you all and to be able to speak to you guys once again. As many of you know, I was with Multiply, the Mennonite Brethren Mission Agency, for about 20 years. And then 6 months ago, I joined Kidstown International. And I'm now the executive director of Kidstown. And our mission, Kidstown, is that we care for orphaned and neglected children by supporting children's homes that improve the quality of life and educational opportunities in a Christ-centered environment, giving them hope for the future. Our goal is that every child will be loved and equipped to impact the world. Our goal is that every child will be loved and equipped to impact the world. And so I've been doing that for the last 6 months. It's been a big learning curve. But it's been something that has been really fulfilling, and I continue to be able to serve people all around the world. And I want to thank you again. Thank you for your continued prayers. Thank you for your continued support. It's been a pleasure to partner with Ross Road over these many, many years. I do want to share with you some of the things that's been happening in Kidstown with one of our orphanages. One of our homes is in Romania. It's near the Ukrainian border, and it's been welcoming refugees fleeing from the war with Russia. You'll see a picture on the screen that shows you our home directors named Christy. He's welcoming a Ukrainian family or families. And so they've been able to host a number of refugees. He writes, "We are able to help many people from Ukraine this week. We have had many at Casa Iona," the name of the orphanage, "and I cannot count for sure, but over 40 in one day. We still have 12 people sleeping with us, and they want to stay for longer. As you know, because of the war in Ukraine, hundreds and thousands of people have been fleeing Ukraine into nearby countries, and our orphanages has been positioned to welcome them and take care of them. The next slide shows a little bit of the temporary shelter that's been set up in one of the orphanages. And the powerful thing, as you see in the next slide, is that orphans are taking care of these refugee children. The mothers, the aunts, the grandmothers who are coming with these families, they're really tired. They're just ready to take a break. And the kids at our orphanages have been providing childcare. They have been passing out food and feeding families. And so you'll see that in that slide. And it's just awesome, again, to see, even though we are taking care of these orphans, that they have a heart to be able to take care of refugees. They have a heart to take care of other children. And so we ask for your continued prayers for this community, for what's happening in the Ukraine and Russia, obviously, but for what is happening in Romania. And friends, we are in a season where there's been wars and rumors of wars. We've come out of this global pandemic, and man, it's easy to just see, be discouraged, feel disconnected. And that's partly what I want to talk with you about today. I want to talk about what it means to be one, what it means to be unified. In this season where it's easy to be divided and disconnected, we need to push into oneness. And that's what I would love to talk to you about. Thomas Kelly writes this, "Yet still more astonishing is the Holy Fellowship, the blessed community to those who are within it. Yet can one be surprised at being home? In wonder and awe, we find ourselves already interknit within unofficial groups of kindred souls. Thomas Kelly is talking about the blessed community, the church, this place where we are to find unity. And I love these words he used. Yet can one be surprised at being home? Is there wonder and awe in finding ourselves interknit, this sense of interconnectedness? And this idea of being kindred spirits, kindred souls. In my mind, that's what oneness is all about. And so as you see on this next slide, oneness is about the quality of being united into one, a state of being joined as one thing and no longer separate, the fact or state of being unified or whole, though comprised of two or more parts. And that's what I want to talk with you guys about today. I want to talk with you guys about one heart, one voice, and one purpose. One heart, one voice, and one purpose. And through these, by examining these components, hopefully we'll get a better understanding of what oneness is. So one heart. On the slide, you'll see a picture of Ramsey. And some of you may remember this story. I shared this a number of years ago, but for those of you who are new, I will retell it. I met Ramsey online and was able to connect with him before we moved to Turkey. I found out that he was a Muslim young person. And so when we moved to Turkey in 2010, I was able to connect with him there in Istanbul. We had a great conversation, and I invited him to come to one of our local churches, and he agreed. And so he came to this church. He hears this amazing testimony about a woman who has been healed of cancer. And the pastor gets up and says, "Friends, if you want to experience the healing power of a relationship with Jesus, if you want to see your life regenerated, I want you to come forward and accept Jesus into your hearts." And so he is waiting, and Ramsey is sitting in the back of the church, and he is a little nervous. He's like, I think I believe, but I don't know if my faith is strong enough. And so Ramsey is sitting there. We unfortunately weren't there that weekend when he had come. And so he was sitting there on his own. And the pastor looks at the crowd and says, "You may be thinking that your faith isn't strong enough, but God believes in you. He believes in you, and that's enough." And Ramsey looks around and says, Are they reading my mind? How do they know what I'm thinking? But he goes, "I'm just too scared. I can't go forward. It's this place. I'm new here." And so the pastor's waiting to see if anybody will come forward. And he says, "Well, if no one wants to come forward, we'll continue with our service." And a woman gets up from the front of the church and she says, "Pastor, I believe there's someone here who wants to accept Jesus into their hearts, but they are too scared." And at that moment, one of our friends who was there, who we had asked to look out for Ramsey, she comes from the back and she goes and sits by Ramsey and says, "How are you feeling?" And Ramsey looks at her and says, "They're talking about me. They're talking about me." And she goes, "Do you want to go forward?" And he says, "Yes." And she goes, "I'll go with you." And so he goes forward with her, and he accepts Jesus into his heart. And friends, he writes me the next morning, and he says, "Saji, my heart is on fire. My heart is on fire." And I want to talk about that burning passion. Acts 2:1 says, "When the day of Pentecost had come, had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. John Franklin says five times in the first five chapters of the books of Acts, a scripture records that the disciples were in one accord. In each instance, the Greek word homothumadon is used. Can you say it with me at home? Homothumadon. Say it. All right. I'm glad you did. The word is a compound from homos, meaning same or together, and thumos, meaning passion, anger, fierceness, wrath, indignation, heat, or glow. Joining these concepts together, John Franklin says, the word can be understood as the same burning of heart or the same heart passion. Friends, do we have that same burning of heart, that same passion in our hearts? What would happen if we did and we joined our hearts in prayers? This is what happened when the early church prayed in one accord, and we read in Acts 2 what happened next. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Friends, we are looking forward to Pentecost in a week or so. Let me ask you a question. What story in the Old Testament did people start to speak in different languages? If you guessed in Genesis, the Tower of Babel, you're correct. But where the Tower of Babel brought division and separation, the Holy Spirit brings unity in the midst of diversity, and 3,000 people come to know Jesus. This idea of having a heart that is inflamed. As many of you know, the road to Emmaus, a story in the Gospels, where Jesus appears to his disciples after he has, after he had been resurrected, and after he had been crucified and then resurrected, and he's explaining what's happened in the scriptures to them and opening it up for them, helping them to understand. And they remark to themselves after they've seen him and he goes, he disappears, were not our hearts burning within us? Can we respond like Ramsey and say, our hearts are on fire? Our hearts are on fire. Friends, we need to rediscover that sense of intimacy. We need to rediscover that sense of community where we are people of the burning heart. And yet, as I talked about the Tower of Babel, that's what this current climate feels like. All of us speaking and no one listening. Our speech and communication have become more polarized than ever, even in the church. We're defensive. We are thin-skinned, and we react. So what does it mean to have one voice? That's what I want to speak to you about next. One heart, one voice. Matthew 18, 19 on the slide says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Matthew 18, 19. And that sense of that word agree in that verse, or agreement, it means to call out with, to be in harmony. Another Greek word for you is symphonos. Symphonos, from the Greek, from the word syn, which means to closely identify with, and phone, which is voice, which is the root of the English term, symphony. To be of one voice, to voice the same opinion. What does it mean to be of one voice? Does anyone in your home, as you're watching there, any of you play instruments? Maybe it's the piano, maybe it's the drums, maybe it's the guitar, maybe it's singing in the shower. But the beauty of a symphony is that there are many instruments: drums, cymbals, violins, cellos. coming together. And this is what the body is all about. In a symphony, excuse me, there's various kinds of instruments all playing the same sheet music. That's what joins them together. All these disparate voices looking and coming together and creating this beautiful melody and harmony because they're following the same sheet music. They also have a conductor that's leading them. And so I think you get my point when I talk about this idea of one verse. What does it mean to be in unity with each other in a symphony? Even though our voices are disparate, we're looking towards the head of our body, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is continually leading us forward. And by looking at this scene, by following Jesus, by looking and following the sheet music, we have one plan and one purpose. And that's what I want to talk to you about next, this idea of one purpose. John 17, 22 to 23 says this, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me." And love them even as you love me. This idea of oneness is found in Jesus and his relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he gives that to us, friends. He says, "I and them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one." You guys remember that old song? It goes like this. "We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love." Hopefully that came across in tune for those of you at home. But the idea of this song that was sung in the 70s, for all of you old hippies out there, is a beautiful song of oneness. We pray that all unity may one day be restored because we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in our Father. And it talks about they'll know we are Christians by our love, as John 17, verse 23 says, "That the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me," so that the world may know. And you're going to see a video. It's a little bit of a long video, but hopefully you will you'll be able to engage with the story. Let me give you a little bit of context for the video. As some of you may know, and as I mentioned earlier, Bindu and I and my family were missionaries in Turkey, and as we were living there, we recognized there was a lot of conflict, a lot of disunity, even among the church. And we had begun, even before we had come to Turkey, we had heard about something that had happened 100 years before called the Armenian Genocide. And that's where Turks turned on their neighbors. It was during the context of World War I. They turned on their neighbors, the Armenians, and basically where there were over 3 million Armenians in Turkey before the genocide. Afterwards, there was only around 30,000 left. And they say over 1 million people were killed as the Armenians were forced on their homes and forced into marches, and as some of them flee and others were killed. Pope Francis calls it the first genocide of the 20th century. And so we had the opportunity to begin praying into that. How this story of bloodshed and it has seeped into the land, and the land itself is crying out. And we said, how do we come? How do we bring unity? How do we go in an opposite spirit of this war and conflict and bloodshed and genocide? And we thought one way we can do that is by bringing people together. And one of our MB churches in California, I met an Armenian guy named Paul, and this was in 2013, and we began to pray and ask God for his work to bring people together. And in 2014, we brought seven Armenian pastors to work with, we brought seven Turkish pastors from Turkey to California. They met at Fuller Seminary. They met with about 20 Armenian pastors and leaders. And that was the beginning of the Armenian-Turkish Peace Initiative. First, it was called the Armenian-Turkish Pastors Initiative, and then it moved into the Armenian-Turkish Peace Initiative. We went from Pasadena to New Jersey, was our next meeting in early 2015. And then for the first time in March of 2015, we met in Istanbul, 100 people talking about forgiveness, talking about reconciliation. And then we sent a group of 20 people to Armenia 2 weeks before the 100-year anniversary of the genocide was commemorated. And they went to Yerevan. And so this video that you're going to see is about what happened when we sent these Turkish leaders to Armenia.
Ermenistan'dayız, Erivan'da. Gördüğünüz gibi anıtı ziyaret ediyoruz. Ve inanılmaz bir duygu içindeyim. Yani 100. yıl Ermeni olaylarının. Bir Türk Hristiyan olarak buraya gelmek ve burada kardeşlerle birlikte bunu anmak gerçekten çok önemli bizler için. Rab bu iki halkı birleştirsin. Yani Mesih'te, Mesih'in çarmında bu iki halkı birleştirsin. Ve Rab'in lütfu egemen olsun. Derdimiz siyaset değil ama gerçekten Rab bunu yapabilir. Rab bizi çarmıhta barıştırdı. Bugün özür dilemek için buradayız. Bugün Ermeni halkından, Ermeni kilisesinden, Türk kilisesinin üyeleri olarak kendimizi alçaltıyoruz ve atalarımızın yaptığı hatadan da değiştiremeyiz ama en azından özür dileyebiliriz. Bunu yapmak istiyoruz. Rab hepinizi bereketlesin. Amin. Gently I'm waking. It's the dawn of a new day. You've painted for me colors exploding, telling our story. I'm waking up, I'm waking up.
to me. Gently I'm waking. It's the dawn of a new day. You've painted for me colors exploding, telling our story. Of your love, and I'm reminded how far we've come. You're the one that my heart is beating for. I can feel the rising of the sun, and mercy sings me the promise of your love, and I'm reminded how far we've come. You're the one that my heart is beating for. Rising out of the sun, and mercy sings me the promise of your love, and I'm reminded how far we've come. You're the one that my heart is bleeding for, and I can feel rising out of the sun, and mercy sings me the promise of your love, and I'm reminded how far we've come.
Harika bir şekilde alçak gönüllü insanlar büyük bir risk alarak buraya geldi. Aynı zamanda harika şekilde karşılandık burada. İnanılmaz bir kardeşlik, misafirperverlik vardı. Ben evde gibiydim. O zaman Amerika'da yaptık, sonra İstanbul'da yaptık. Şimdi Ermenistan'dayız. Ve Tanrı bu ayağı tamamladı. Ama Tanrı'nın bana çok net burada bu sabah söylediği bir şey var. Devam etmelisiniz. Devam etmeliyiz. Zorluk ya da sıkıntıya bakmayacağız. Ama hem buradaki Ermeni kardeşler bedel ödemeye hazırlar, biz de hazırız.
Friends, I hope you were impacted by that video you saw. I see it, and every time it just brings a tear to my eye to see people who have hated each other for hundreds of years reconciling, washing each other's feet, praying for each other, blessing each other. And friends, the newspapers took note. It went all over Armenia. Turkish pastors coming to ask for forgiveness. Man, that is radical unity. That is radical oneness. When we can forgive each other, when we can ask each other's forgiveness for things that we've seen happen in the past, even if it wasn't us doing it. Hakan, who many of you guys know, stood up at one of our gatherings and repented for things that had happened in his grandfather's village where Turkish soldiers had killed Armenians. This is a thing that we need to be about, friends, reconciliation. And yet, we get upset when somebody leaves the toilet seat up. We get frustrated with our boss or our coworkers. I am sure that many of you getting ready for church this morning got upset with your family member because they were too late or they were taking too much time. That happens to me. I'm always getting a little frustrated. But friends, God is calling us to this sense of oneness. And we need that in the church. That quote that Thomas Kelly, when he talked about the blessed community, he was referring to this idea of fellowship, this holy fellowship that we can experience. And friends, I know that we've come through a time of COVID, this global pandemic. We've been disconnected, we've been discouraged. Depression is at an all-time high. We need to continue to give each other grace. We need to come together in unity. And friends, it's not just us that need it. The world is desperately hungering for a sense of oneness. And we get there by practicing forgiveness and being ambassadors of reconciliation, as it talks about in 2 Corinthians 5. Well, friends, I want to close by sharing this last verse with you. Jeremiah 32:39 from the New Living Translation. And I will give them one heart and one purpose to worship me. And I, in parentheses, I put with one voice forever for their own good and for the good of all their descendants. I will give them one heart and one purpose to worship me with one voice for their own good and for the good of all their descendants. Friends, when we practice this kind of oneness, we are helping ourselves and we are blessing our children and their children. We need to come together. We need to understand what it means to be of one heart, one voice, and one purpose. May God bless you at Ross Road Community Church as you practice this.